Hello again, basketball gamers, and welcome to episode number 211 of the NLSC podcast. This is your weekly podcast here at the NLSC, talking about basketball, video gaming, and a little bit of real basketball as well. We're in that time of the off-season where there's not a lot to talk about, certainly as far as the games are concerned. We're waiting for more news, kind of in that dead period, but we do have some community news to catch up on, some news about mods and whatnot, as well as some discussion about the real NBA as well, with a couple of interesting transactions that have happened. So that's what we'll talk about this week. I'm Andrew, with you as always. I'm your humble webmaster, administrator, and janitor. I'm joined by modder, graphic designer, apparel designer, and all-around good guy, Ben, also known as Arcane.
I appreciate that. I love the janitor touch, and surprised with the nice guy touch for me. Normally, those are not usually the words that get associated with me, but I'll take it for once.
Take it where you can get it, yeah. Yeah, I like to think of myself as the head janitor here at the NLSC, of course, cleaning up the messes in the forum and whatnot. Fortunately, not too many of them these days. But yes, it's one of those dead spots, as I said, Ben, not as much to talk about with the news. We've kind of hit that time where it's between EA Play rather than E3, and we're just waiting for them to push through new details. 2K, obviously traditionally quiet, as they so often are. And the off-season is just about to tip off, really. But we do have a couple of interesting items of news from the past week.
Yeah, I was just sort of thinking, if 2K is going to do the repeat last, 2 weeks before release, or if they're going to go at least a month before release, we'll start to hear things, so... Yeah, I guess it's a wait and see.
I suppose at least this year we do have the two games, and because Live is making the comeback, they'll at least hopefully want to talk a little bit more about it more openly, and we're certainly making our inquiries as to how we can get some exclusives. We want to set up our interviews again this year. We're in touch with the guys at EA to do all that stuff, hopefully bring that to you very soon. But yeah, I mean, as long as I guess one of the games is coming up with some information, at least once a fortnight, I suppose, we'll at least have something to talk about some of the time.
Yeah, yeah. And, I suppose with what I guess will be officially happening tomorrow or the day after, really, is free agency. So that'll at least give us some more topics than that for at least a week or so.
At least a week or two of the off-season, then we'll have to see what we're going to talk about. We'll probably have to play some games and talk about what we're playing, which is what we do, of course, but... No, there's only so much I guess you can talk about every week, but we'll find something to talk about, especially with our modding community doing all the great work during the off season. And with that in mind, thought we would tip things off this week with a bit of talk about what's happening in the community, in the modding community at the moment. First thing we want to note, of course, if you are thinking about picking up NBA 2K17 on PC, heads up from D43 in the forums. Thank you very much, Derek, for the heads up. NBA 2K17 PC is on sale through Steam, of course. It's 75% off, Ben, so that's down to $15.
Oh, nice.
So that's a pretty good deal. I mean, there's not everyone's been completely happy with 2K17, and the PC has had some issues on some machines, usually with NVIDIA cards, although my gaming machine runs fine with its NVIDIA card and 2K17 PC as well. But for $15, it's obviously a lot to the game for that much. So if you have been looking to double dip, or if you've just been holding off the game, you want to get it as well. I mean, it is obviously getting pretty late in the year, but if you did want to check it out, the server should be up for a little while yet, at any rate. it is available for $15. And if you are picking up the PC version, there are quite a lot of mods, Ben, being made for it at the moment.
Which is great. To see that, especially, I guess, so late in the game cycle in terms for the year and that. Good to see people still working hard on it. I remember patching for NBA Live back in the day, and occasionally it was getting closer to when the next game was to come out, there'd be a slight lull in the amount of patches and stuff that gets released or mods and that we used to work on. So it's good to see that, things are still progressing in terms of big mods and patches stuff coming out, so
definitely
work the community.
I mean, everyone's sort of looking forward to the next game, certainly the closer you get to the release, and but at the same time you want to do something with the game during the off season, give you something new to play with. Everyone's played through a season or two in my career, or my GM, my league, or play through my team or whatever. So, yeah, it's great to have that new content there. I've got the list here for you just to talk about real quickly. There's an NLSC Realistic Community roster, and that's made by I Hate Mondays, Kev Meyer, Blue Jay Brandon, and JEDL. They've been doing some fantastic work to get a really comprehensive roster update done, including updated ratings, badges. I think they've reworked the badges system, how they've assigned all the badges to players for more realism and enhanced gameplay. Coaching profiles, points of emphasis have been updated. Rotations have been modified for better, more realistic minutes and rotations. All done for more realism. They're currently working on both the 2017 and 2018 season rosters. So they're going to have two versions out, the kind of a final 2017 roster and then the off-season roster with all the new rookies and everything. So again, a lot of the stuff we used to do. I haven't really had anyone really take on that community roster for 2K in the last few years, mostly because it has changed, because we haven't been able to externally modify the rosters as easily as before. We don't have Red MC. We've had to work with the trainers and everything, which is a bit tougher and such. But it is great to see them making such great use of the in-game tools to make this really detailed roster. So that's the NLSC Realistic Community roster. More information in the releases and previews section in the under 2K17 in our forum. And I shot the thread over to you, Ben, and as you can see, such a lot of work going into that current roster.
Oh, yeah. Just had a quick look through them all, and like I said, you gave me for some other mode mods and stuff, and yeah, it takes me back to the days. And, but nah, it's good work, and hopefully they can get it out pretty soon. Obviously, they'll be waiting for all the free agency signings and all that stuff, and all the confirmed rookie signings and all that. So I imagine the 2018 part would be out pretty soon. If they do a two-part release, I guess, maybe. If they get the 2017 stuff out first, and then...
Yeah, it's to be determined at the moment. I don't want to set a specific date. And, hey, having done the roster updates for so many years for NBA Live, the unofficial NLSC roster updates, that is, or the NLSC-branded updates, I should say, yeah, sometimes you just don't want to put the date there because people will hold it to you, hold you to it, rather, even though when you say, look, it's a rough date, you know, this is something I'm doing in my free time. Most people are very cool, but at the same time, it gets people's hopes up. Some people aren't as understanding, so I certainly understand not wanting to put a solid date. I think it's coming within the next few weeks, I think they're targeting, but certainly, you know, don't bug them. It is coming, it is on the way, so you can check out that thread again in the releases and previews section for more information. And speaking of the 2K17 rosters, you know, I mentioned D43 before. He gave us the heads up on the 2K17 sale. He, of course, has released his Ultimate All-Times roster. Sorry, Ultimate All-Time Teams roster, which is the all-time squads, Ben. For, you know, so yep. with the Bulls, you would have your Artis Gilmore, Jordan, Derrick Rose, Scottie Pippen, Dennis Rodman, all of them together, all the best players. So
yep.
That's always a cool, you know, the all-time teams roster. That's always a cool project. The Ultimate Fantasy Draft roster, which adds 131 players to the rosters, and that's great for the, well, again, an Ultimate Fantasy kind of draft for my league, where you can just get all these historical players in there with the current ones as well, and just have these great fantasy rosters. And also the Ultimate Classic Team roster, which adds a bunch of new classic teams to the game from selected years. You can check them all out in the, again, in his release threads, all the details. So some great projects. I know he's taken a lot of time, a lot of care with that. And you can also check out his YouTube channel, and you can check out that in the thread. He's been posting videos in the forum showing off the rosters and explaining the rosters. So, yeah, once again, those are huge projects. So congratulations to D for getting those out, and thank you for sharing them and doing all that great work. And yeah, definitely check them out. So the other roster that we have for 2K17 is actually on PlayStation 4. Which we could check out, or you can check out. I'm currently having issues getting onto the PlayStation Network at the moment for some reason. It's something I'll have to troubleshoot when we finish recording, as we said. But Skills from the Six is actually creating updated off-season rosters for NBA 2K17 on PS4. If you want to download those, his PSN is Skillers Kill. That's SKILLAZKILL. And the roster name, the ID, is Off-Season Roster 2K17. All that information, again, he's posting in the releases and previews section of the forum. He's been adding draftees, Ben, prospects from his D-League roster mod, and all the off-season transactions. He's just added the Chris Paul trade, which we'll talk about a little bit as well, in as far as the real NBA is concerned, a little bit later in the show. So even on PS4, with putting those in-game editors to good use to make all those updated rosters, and again, great to see the community coming together and doing that stuff. As far as the older games are concerned, there's been some updates to the retro season rosters for 2K13 PC by Slim44, collaborating with Sco Adam, of course, and Pat the Head. I know Pat has just added a lot of Slim44's roster edits to his big roster project for 2K13, the retro season mod pack, and Slim's also updated some recent updates to the download section. It does need the rest of the UR basketball, URB, to work properly. You can get that in the download section as well. All the links are there. And it looks like both Slim and Sco are working on some stuff for URB in the future for both 2K13 and 2K14. Some cool stuff, future updates and that kind of thing. So still getting some great updates for the older games as well that people still like to play. Some people still like to play those older games, Ben, from the last gen, if they haven't got a PS4, they don't really like the computer's not fast enough to run the 2K15 and onwards, or they just simply prefer the older games. As you know, it's been great to update. We updated live for many years after they were outdated, because people still enjoyed playing them, and it was cool to update them with all the new season stuff.
Oh yeah, it definitely helped enjoy it a lot more in that sense. So
lots of great work still being done. Check out the forums for all the latest. We'll always be posting I'll be posting the file editions bulletins as they come through on the front page, keeping everyone up to date with the latest releases as best I can. You can always check them out in the forum in the download section, of course. That's what our community has done so well for almost 21 years now, Ben. 21 years this August.
It's almost legal enough to drink in the US.
Almost.
So almost that option. Yeah.
We're already there in Australia, I guess. So.
Yeah.
The last bit of, gaming news that we'll put out there this week, of course, 2K17 on sale, 75% off. The PC version of NBA Playgrounds is 33% off on Steam at the moment, which is $13.39, down from the $19.99. If you haven't picked that up yet, that's obviously an option there for PC. I actually double-dipped with that since it was on sale. Been playing the PS4 version before this, of course. A lot of people are enjoying it. Doesn't look like the modding is really going anywhere at the moment, unfortunately. Nisa is kind of burned out on the game, not really liking it after a couple of the updates, so he's put some information out in the thread in our forum, the NBA Playground thread in our forum there, that you can find under the other basketball games section. But he's not really actively working on it anymore, doesn't feel it. Which is unfortunate news, but totally understandable. You know, you've got to be passionate about the games to want to mod them, so fair enough. We thank him for the information that he's put there already. But in any event, the PC version, which does have all the same features as the PS4 and Xbox One version, just comes through Steam, of course. They're all digital-only releases. And yeah. Oh, actually, the only difference is that the Steam version often gets the patch first. So PC Master Race, I guess, Ben, in this case. Maybe.
PC version used to get the last to get the patch, usually for NBA 2K and that, so
yeah, we had to wait.
Famous of return, so yeah,
I can get lucky sometimes, I suppose. So that is about it for the news this week. Once again, stay tuned to the forum and the front page for all the great stuff that our community is doing with the modding, and of course joining the discussion. But speaking of discussion, time to talk a little bit about our week in basketball gaming.
It looks simple, but it's hard to execute.
Now, Ben, you've been a little bit busy this week, so you haven't got a lot of stories to tell, I understand.
but I have downloaded, after purchasing NBA Playgrounds, I just finished downloading it today. So it's been a busy week in terms of coaching kids and that during the school holidays and that, so that was a fun 3 days. And in fact, Kenny even helped me out on the day one of that, so that was really cool.
That's cool, yeah. So you'll be looking forward to some arcade basketball action,
and yeah,
based on you've seen a little bit of the game when you played when you got able to play the beta version. So yeah, what are you looking forward to doing the most?
Just sort of seeing how it compared to the beta version, because remember when I first played it and when you first played it, we both had very different experiences because I was only able to play the online stuff and you were playing more the offline stuff.
Offline tournaments, yeah.
Yeah, so just to sort of see how it's varied since then in terms of that. So,
well, of course, yeah. There's been a couple of patches as well. So I think you'll like it more than I did at first. They have tweaked some of the gameplay. The important thing is to remember is to not to abuse the turbo too much, because the turbo is very slow to... Well, very slow may be unfair of putting it, but compared to like the old NBA Jam, NBA Hangtime and everything, the turbo doesn't replenish as quickly. So if you don't have enough turbo, you will find yourself missing dunks and really coming up short on shots and whatnot, and not getting the full chances on the shot meter and everything. Or so it seems to me anyway. Certainly you'll miss dunks when you don't have the turbo to finish them. So, yeah, you've got to be a bit conservative with the turbo.
Yep, yep. I think that was kind of in there. So, yeah, I'm sort of familiar with that. And, yeah, it makes sense to do that. So, yeah, hopefully this weekend I'll at least get more of a chance to play it. I know I've got still another busy week or two ahead. And hopefully it won't distract me too much from being able to get at least an hour in beforehand. So,
well, you get a few games in an hour because of how quick it is with just the 5 minutes of gameplay, basically, which is something I've really gotten used to. You know, I've really come around on Playgrounds. I do still have some complaints. There is still room for improvement and everything. And, you know, I don't know how much they can do with the engine they've made and everything as far as the AI and everything is concerned, but it is a pretty solid game. You know, I wouldn't rank it above any of the best Jam or Street games or on par with them, but it's a fine game in its own right, so it's definitely worth a purchase, I think, at this point. So, you know, I was kind of on the fence about that, but I think when I finally do my video review and I've been drafting the script and getting all the footage for it, yeah, I think I'd recommend it to buy, but you have to be cautious if you are an old-school Jam fan like I am. You have to be aware that there are some changes, and it does take some getting used to. I was able to go from Jam to Street very easily back in the day. A little bit of adjustment this time around because of the way the turbo works and the shot meter, which is now in the game, of course, and some of the mechanics, and you really got to get used to the lottery pick bar and the way that you can get the extra points off perfect releases and the different power-ups, how they affect the game much more than previous arcade games or most arcade games. So, yeah, it's something to keep in mind. But I think you will enjoy it, and it'll be fun to play online sometime as well.
Oh, for sure. I'm looking forward to that once I get reacquainted with it. So, yeah.
So, I, as I've mentioned, I did pick up the PC version of Playgrounds. I double-dipped. And I noticed, unfortunately, it doesn't seem to support my Logitech controller, my dual-analog controller. It looks like it wants an Xbox controller, like a Windows Xbox controller. I haven't tried the PS4 controller, because you can connect the PS4 controller to the PC. In fact, if you do that in 2K17, it changes all the icons to the PS4 icons, which is pretty cool.
Nice.
So it changes from the Logitech generic icons to the PlayStation ones, which is fantastic. So that is really cool. But, yeah, I haven't tried that yet to see if it'll support that. But I have noticed a couple of games do that. They want the Xbox controller, and since it's not recognizing the Logitech controller at all, I had to use the keyboard. And, man, some games are just not meant to be used with the keyboard, so I have to say. it's playable, but I want to see if I can get a controller working with it, because, yeah, it's one of those games that is definitely made for a controller. Like, I play a Fallout, I'm using the mouse and the keyboard. That's great. I'd prefer that to a controller. With the basketball video games, they're really made for controllers these days, so I have to see if I can get that working. But that was a little bit disappointing that happened. But it's not uncommon, and that some Steam games just want to use the user controller. I mean, the Logitech controllers are fairly old now as well. Most games do pick it up, but in any case. By the way, the PS4 controller also is recognized by NBA Live 2005 and earlier as well. So
nice, that's
so
cool.
You can actually use it much the way you could any other dual analog controller from back in the day. So again, that's worst case scenario, if anything happens with my Logitech, I can just get one of the PS4 controllers and plug it in via USB. isn't it great to have universal devices these days?
And oh, so, yeah, that's for sure.
indeed the Yeti mic that I'm recording this podcast now. I can just plug that into the PS4, and that's what we do the party chat on. So, well, yep. What I do my end of the party chat on, what I do my talking on anyway. So don't even need a headset. So yeah, that is obviously pretty cool as well. Yeah, as far as the PS4 of a version of Playgrounds, just been trying to finish some of the challenges. Because I have completed all the tournaments now, so it's just going back to do all the challenges to unlock the extra basketballs and just to get extra XP to upgrade players, because I've got Scottie Pippen, trying to get him up to gold so I can get all the moves for him. Just leveling up to get packs and everything. Got a couple of them, managed to get a couple of them, got kind of screwed out of a couple of others. And Kenny's brought it up before. It seems like when you're getting close to finishing a challenge, the AI plays keep away. Like, it almost like it knows you're getting close to it, and it's going, okay, you need extra time to do this, so I'm not going to let you do it. And I actually had one game, I was replaying the game against Ray Allen and Klay Thompson, which is kind of a tough matchup when they're hitting threes. I was losing badly. I don't know what happened. It just wasn't happening for me. And I found myself down 21-13 at the end of the game. But I'd activated the lottery pick bar, which gave me the multiplier, and I noticed as they had the inbound, so I'm down 18 to 31. Sorry, 21 to 13 rather. Don't know where I'm going with that one. that's right. That's where the 8 comes in. I noticed that there was an 8 multiplier just above the the 3-point line. So if I'd been able to get the steal with 4 seconds left and get back to the multiplier and hit it, I could have won the game on a single shot, the 8 multiplier. But of course they kept it away. It's very hard to steal from the CPU when they're using a gold level player. So I didn't get it. But it's like, what a tease! What a middle finger from the game. It felt kind of old school. You know, that old school middle finger that video games give you metaphorically. It was definitely like that. So. Yeah, that's basically what I've been doing. We didn't play 2K Prime last week. We talked about it. Talked about playing some, but we haven't played since. Although we recorded Saturday. It was Saturday night we recorded last week, wasn't it?
Yeah, because we waited till after the draft.
That's right. And then we were busy on the Friday. But we didn't get to play. We're looking to play tonight. This is the Friday night we're recording this. We'll see how it goes as far as me being able to get my PSN connected again. Don't know what's happening there. But... now that there's a spanner in the works, or maybe it saves me the frustration. Who knows? You know, it might actually be a blessing in disguise. But still, we're going to be playing that. We talked a little bit about that last week, and not giving up on it just yet, and maybe getting the demo come August. But yeah, I guess it'll be a bit of Playgrounds we'll be playing online in the future as well.
Yeah, which should be fun. I was thinking actually yesterday when I was. Started to download the game because I've only played like 2 hours of PlayStation, I think, this last week.
That's adult life, man.
Yeah, I know. I feel old again, a little mature, grown up.
I wouldn't go that far for myself, but older.
And I was thinking, given like how I played when I was playing the beta, is like, and then playing against you guys. Online, you know, would that be a bad sportsman and all that stuff? So I was thinking, well, I got to see how you guys play against me first and then go from there. So it was like, yeah, it just sort of clicked. It was like, oh, wait, you know, if I did play like that, you know, how would you guys take it? And then, you know, would it look... So I had to sort of think about that for a second in terms of, like, friendships and stuff like that.
So what are the strategies that you're talking about doing, or...?
I just remember from when I was playing the beta part, you know, the first game that I played, the guy was kind of rough. So I basically took in, like, prison rules. It's like...
Right.
Beat someone up before they beat you kind of thing. Sure. Just to sort of, you know, say not to mess with me kind of thing. So when I played the second person, I was... And then second and third person and all that. I think after the second person, the person was probably a little bit more timid in that sense than that. So, but I think it took me a little bit of time to sort of recognize not to sort of be that sort of aggressive jerk in that. So,
well, the thing is, I mean, it is a way to play arcade basketball games, of course. Yeah. Judging by some of the posts in the Playgrounds group on Facebook, There are people who do shove a lot online and people who don't like people that shove online, but the bottom line is that you can avoid them with the crossovers and such, and yep. you really only get a shove or two in depending on the stamina rating of your player before you completely use it, so you really have to be conservative with the yep. shoving. Just the same way as steals and everything else that uses turbo, you've got to be careful with it, because if you run out, then you've got nothing. You know, you miss the shove, then you don't have the turbo to, you don't have the sprint to actually make the steal, for example, or to run back on defense. So you do have to be careful with that. And of course, every time you shove, it completely depletes the lottery bar. So then if you're shoving but the others aren't, and then they're getting the power-ups through the lottery pick bar, then you know they can win that way. So there's always a ways to elude shoves, and if you're playing clean, it rewards you for that. But at the same time, you can still make use of the shoves as well. So, yeah, it's... I think the only rep you lose online is if you could have quit with your dashboard to avoid the loss. That has been a problem. I'm seeing a lot of people do that. Doesn't surprise me. Online gaming, bad sports, people doing that. Unfortunately, doesn't surprise me at all, but it is what it is, I suppose. And because it's peer-to-peer, I mean, it's... Yeah, they do have the rep system, I believe, in place, and you do lose that a bit. But, yeah, I don't think, you know, people basically just kind of have to suck it up, I guess. I mean, it is part of the game. It is an arcade. It's street rules, but you do get the reward for playing clean. So if you got to... You weigh the risk and reward of playing that way, basically.
Yep. Like, from when I remember playing, you know, it was genuine attempt to knock the ball loose. So it was attempting more of a steal, more to be like a Bruce Bowen grub kind of thing. I think when I played that second person, I think it may have been one of their first games given
turned someone else off the game. So.
Yeah. Because I could tell at one point he was sort of like, man. He sort of see this minute of where he just gave up, because it was something like 22 or 28 nil or something like that.
Yep.
And it was like, you could see how dejected he was, and then he got back into it, and he started to go on, start to score a bit, which was good. But yeah, it was, you could sort of really see this moment where it was like a give up in that sense, and it sort of felt too easy at a point.
Sounds like some of our 2K Pro-Am games, except we're usually on the other side of it. We're on his side of it with the Pro-Am.
Yeah, and in a lot of those cases, it's not us technically giving up. It's just the game, constantly doing the turnovers and stuff for us. So, yeah, when it comes to that. But, I just got to relearn how to play, and I'll sort of... And then, get a few games in, and then hopefully go against some matches against you guys and that. Looking forward to that. One thing I did want to quickly bring up in regards to the sort of patching stuff we were talking about earlier.
Yes.
I actually do have a couple of things in the works at the moment.
That's cool.
I sort of previewed a couple of weeks ago, or about a week and a half or something ago, some title screens for NBA Live 08.
Yes.
I'm just sort of finishing them up. I don't have the game obviously installed on my new laptop and that, because there's no Blu-ray or DVD-ROM drive to have the game running and that, so I kind of need to get someone to test it for me.
Yep.
And that's also the same with some of the Street Gear stuff for during like All-Star Weekend and the Urban Court stuff, so I'll be sending you some stuff in a couple of days to test that stuff out.
That'd be good to see. Yeah,
and to get screenshots as well. So
yeah, I can definitely do that. I've got everything set up, because I do still look to mod from time to time. I did the Friday Five article a few weeks back. The five mods I'd like to make this year, if I can make the time, and some of them are a bit ambitious, but I definitely want to get that Jordan mod out. Because it's the one that's the furthest along. I've actually got the beta, the public beta's out there, the demo version. Want to finish up the rosters, get all the artwork in place, get all the ratings done, the rest of the players added. As it stands, all the teams have at least 8 players, so it's playable at the moment, but it's not polished as I want to be. It doesn't have all the art that it wants to have. Doesn't have LeVar Ball there in the free agent pool with the ratings I'm thinking of giving him. That's going to be a challenging one-on-one if you want to play with him, I think, just putting that out there. And yeah, just a couple other little things to do here and there. So, yeah, I like to get into it. It's just finding time, as you know, to set it aside.
Yeah, and given the amount of work and stuff I've got going on over the next 2 or 3 weeks in particular, actually probably even a month, it'll just be a matter of being able to get it out, like have the time to sort of finish it off. Lucky enough, most of the title screen stuff and some of the unit, like the fashion stuff for the outdoor and All-Star Weekend stuff, is pretty much done. It'll just be a minor tweak here and there if it needs it once I get some screenshots to sort of see how it turned out. Hopefully by next weekend I can hopefully have that stuff out.
Fun to do every now and again, you know, just play.
Yeah, yeah.
So some ways playing an old favorite is patching an old favorite as well. It's kind of cool. So
I just got to remember how, like, if the All-Star Weekend stuff, whether the resolution and texture stuff I got it in works the same in 06 and 08. If it does, then I could release a version for both. Just some of the textures in 08 were just
Some were different, but then other things they didn't change for years. Yeah,
yeah, and you know, if it's anything, say like jersey textures and stuff, then it's shrunk down even further and doesn't work very well if you double the resolution on it anything.
Numbers are different. 07 and 08 had the 00 to 99, whereas it was they just had the 0 to 9 with 05 and 06. But 2005 and 06, it just had the 0 to 9. It would put them together, but the ones for 07 and 08 were the whole range. Which made it so much easier to update. So, but yeah, no, it's fun to dust off old favorites and either mod or play them or both. So yeah, we still have some people in the community, as I said, working on old games, even the live games, certainly the 2K games as well. So yeah, it'll be good to see another release from you. But you know, I'd like to join you. I just have to figure out what I can do in the next week or so. But Murat has been sending me a lot of great updates for the 96 mod for 2004, so I'll have a new version of that out. I've just been collecting all his stuff. It's basically ready to go. A couple more tweaks I might want to do it when I get some time, but basically, yeah, just putting his great updates in. The next update's going to have all the updated logos from 1996, all the jerseys, all the courts, some really great looking courts and jerseys that he's redone. So, nice. Yeah, and of course I'm really proud of that cover art I made, the recreation of the Live 96 cover. So if anything else, I've got to get version 3 and maybe even a version 4 out there just to, so I can post that cover again, because I'm so pleased with it. I'm so proud of it that I want to use it again and post it. So I'll have to do that. But I guess that's pretty much all we have for the games this week.
Yeah.
So
pretty short week, but yeah.
Short week, but that's how it is. Maybe a short show. We'll see how the next few topics go. But it is time to talk a little bit about the real NBA. That being the off season, of course. We talked about the draft this week, and since then, been a couple of moves and interesting changes in front offices. Phil Jackson is out in New York.
Yeah, didn't think it would happen, but it finally has.
Well, there was talk that he was going to finish out the next 2 years, and he's left his contract and finish out that 5-year deal. But lots of Knicks fans, obviously, and pundits were pushing for his firing, and they did come to terms, and he is leaving the Knicks. So, yeah, it's kind of an odd timing of the move, I guess, but I suppose the draft was just the final straw.
Yeah. It was kind of interesting week in terms of that. I mean, I know some people didn't like the draft pick and all that stuff, although they never really do. But you know, whether it was going to be look at Porzingis, he got booed because no one knew who the hell he was, and now they don't want him to leave.
Yeah, yeah.
So an interesting 2 years for him, isn't it? Because it was not last year; it was the year before, wasn't it? When Porzingis was booed.
Yeah, last year was his second season in the league. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, interesting how things can change in 2 years in terms of things like that. So,
I mean, that was Jackson's greatest move, I guess. with the Knicks was to get Porzingis, and people, it was the one that people doubted that he turned out to be right on. But everything else, like, people aren't too happy, and I guess rightfully so. I mean, the biggest thing I think is the way he was undermining Hornacek. You know, stop coming in and stopping practices to yell about this, and, you know, I want you to run the triangle and everything. And, you know, there's lots of talk about the triangle being obsolete. I don't know about that. There's a lot of teams that do run elements of the triangle. I think it's mainly that Jackson wanted them to run the triangle, but he was undermining Hornacek to do it, and that he didn't want to coach the team himself. You know, that's the big thing, I guess. You know, so he wants to call the shots like a coach, but not actually do the rest of the work like a coach, and coach be the coach on the sidelines and ruin his record with a team that's not as good as the ones he's used to. But, you know, as great as he's been as a coach, I guess, you know, it was his first gig as a GM, but, you know, Red Auerbach said all those years ago, you know, that Phil Jackson was a great coach, but he didn't build the teams. And maybe the legendary Red Auerbach had a point there.
Yeah, I think that's a valid point. And, you know, just given what happened, it'd be interesting to see if any other teams would choose Phil Jackson to be a GM again. Although it's interesting with the I gotta stop saying like that, you know.
Kenny and I discussed this a few episodes back. Yeah, interesting is one of those words that's easy to overuse.
Yeah, I know. I use it way too much, and it's been bothering me for like two months that I've overused it a lot, and I was just continue to do it. It's like, damn it, expand your vocabulary. But anyway. Yeah, the rumors, you know, that Isaiah Thomas could be the dark horse to get the position again. And it's like, just doesn't surprise me about the Knicks.
And do you really want to go there? I mean, he's tweeted himself that he's not interested in the job. You know, and we can use the word there, I suppose. He said that he doesn't want the job. I mean, that could easily be a smokescreen. He does have the good relationship with Dolan. Unfortunately for Knicks fans, I suppose. But, yeah, I mean, you remember the controversy when they hired him back or they hired him for the Liberty?
Yeah.
At one point, I mean, do you really want to go there? And no, the answer is no. I mean, it's...
And given there's the whole Fire Isaiah campaign and all that stuff, it's like the Knicks would go from jumping out of an airplane to landing in a shark-infested feeding frenzy and all that stuff.
You're talking about out of the frying pan into the fire. It's he had his go. It didn't work out. Donnie Walsh kind of righted the ship. Walsh and Jeff X mentioned that in the forum. Didn't really get a great go. He was kind of pushed out after he turned things around. They got Amari Stoudemire and everything after he cleared the cap room, got rid of some of those terrible contracts that Isaiah Thomas signed players to, and then. As for Phil Jackson's future, I mean, he's 71. If he just wants to enjoy his retirement, you know, good luck to him. You know, why not? You know, he's certainly, even though this hasn't been a great run for him to perhaps finish his NBA career with, he's always ultimately going to be remembered for the Bulls and the Lakers championships and having the most championships of any coach in NBA history. So, you know, I don't think it's going to impact his legacy in the long run, and if he wants to call it a day, you know, I couldn't blame him. But I suppose, you know, he's still a big name in the sport, so stranger things have happened. So maybe he does get another gig. I guess it comes down to his interest and a vacancy. But I did see that the Knicks are also going after, I can never pronounce his name, but the Raptors GM.
Yeah, I think he stated that he wasn't interested. I think there's... Or that something I read something earlier or saw like a headline regards to, I think,
like either
he might stay where he is or that the Knicks might not reach out to him in the end. So
okay.
So I'll have to double check that one later. But yeah, and I think that's probably why there's like the whole story about like Isaiah Thomas becoming the dark horse to get it.
Yeah,
so.
If I'm a Knicks fan, I'm just really... I'm not a Knicks fan, but if I was, I'm just really not happy about the fact that's even a rumor and not just a joke.
Yeah.
That it can't just be a joke, that the possibility is still there because of Dolan's history and, you know, how buddy-buddy he is with Isaiah Thomas. You know, which is fine. Hey, be friends with the guy. Just don't hire him. You know, I don't think it's worked out for you before, so... you know.
Talk about going back to like a bad ex.
There's some relationships, you know, have to stay in the past, and you can maybe you can be friends, but you don't. But no, no relationship beyond that, and in the sporting sense, in this case, of course. I mean, you know, it's again, like I said last week, they've somehow found a way to look more dysfunctional than the Bulls, which is incredible. And Garpax continues to do whatever, so that's another situation altogether. No movement on that front, but yeah, it's so Phil Jackson's tenure comes to an end, and a little bit unceremoniously, I think it's fair to say.
Yeah, it was hyped up for like. Because the whole rumor is like, looked like it's happening today, and then, so it was. It reminded me of the leadership spill for, like, Tony Abbott.
It moved very quickly, like that. Yeah, I guess you know these days of social media and news breaking so quickly and readily, you know, by the minute online and everything, by the second, I guess. You can't really hide it or hold off for very long because the report's already out there. It kind of forces your hand, I suppose. So
yeah.
So whatever it is, as soon as the reports start going, you've got to move quick before you know, to stay ahead of the news and seem like you're in control and not being influenced by the media, I suppose. But the timing is weird, but it does seem to be that the final straw was the draft, and clearly. They've been at odds, so it's a culmination of everything, really.
Yeah, and I think too, like it was probably a move before free agency.
Yes.
I think it was like, all right, if we're not going to get, you know, if we're gonna try and keep Melo, if we're gonna try and sign someone else, if we're gonna try and get rid of Melo, rebuild entirely, and all that stuff, and need to get rid of what's probably going to be the. Not so much of a draw card in terms of players wanting to come by, given like the stories and that had been heard. So,
Melo's outlasted Jax now. He's outlasted him.
Yeah. So, interesting week ahead or 2 weeks for the Knicks and what's going to happen now. Obviously, because you've got to wait a certain period before all the signings become official. And that
small moratorium, yeah.
Yep. So, yeah, it'll be. I think there'll be a lot of Knicks fans on edge and on the whether it be on the edge of their seats or just like on a coffee edge kind of.
Yeah.
Like,
I suppose just wondering what now and why not sooner. But it is what it is, and the Zen Master is no longer calling the shots in New York.
I did like the little meme I made afterwards where it looked like. Took a scene from like New Year's Eve in New York, and then made it seem like a celebration that Phil was gone.
Yeah,
it did seem like that kind of weight was lifted off the Knicks' shoulder.
So, speaking of tenures coming to an end, Chris Paul has been traded to the Houston Rockets. There was a lot of talk that he was going to opt out and sign with the Spurs and form a super team there. Instead, looks like he's going to join forces. Well, indeed, he is going to join forces with James Harden. In Houston, and you know it was a pretty big deal. Obviously, just looking at the transactions, I closed that tab for some reason. So the actual trade, a lot of players involved, including the rights to a couple of draft picks. But the meat of the trade is Chris Paul to Houston for Patrick Beverley and Lou Williams, I guess, DeAndre Liggins, Sam Decker, a couple of the draft picks. Including who was traded from? DeAndre Liggins was traded from Dallas as well, and Hilliard. So, a couple of moves there preceding the Chris Paul deal. So basically, the biggest players, I guess, in the deal are Beverley and Williams from the Rockets to the Clippers. Clippers starting over with a couple of decent players there. Chris Paul, though, still I guess kind of underrated these days. I mean, or maybe overlooked more so than underrated. Because he is still one of the best point guards in the league, when healthy, at any rate. But I guess the big deal, Ben, is the split that apparently had been occurred in the locker room with Doc Rivers, because the talk is that Paul has really become to, and the word that's being thrown around is despise. Now, that's a really good word. You know, not just hates or, you know, is angry at, despises Doc Rivers. That sounds personal, even more so than hate.
Yeah, that's definitely a strong word. Like, a lot of people, you know, they'll say, oh, hate is such a strong word, but despise is...
It's something
far
really...
far more intense.
There is something really intense about it. I mean, you know, maybe it's because we've used the word haters too much these days. You know, haters gonna hate. You know, but people who despise you, you know, it's a good word. Not a good situation, though, apparently, with the Clippers. Chris Paul felt that... The Doc was giving preferential treatment to Austin Rivers, who was his son, of course, and that he had also turned down a deal New York apparently offered Carmelo Anthony and Vujicic to the Clippers for Jamal Crawford, Paul Pierce, and Austin Rivers, a deal to which Rivers ultimately said no. And that event led, quote here, is that that event led Paul to feel that keeping his son on the roster was more important to Doc than improving the team. Now, Austin Rivers himself has come out and said, you know, that it's complete fictional and that it's just clowning. His sister, Callie, who doesn't play for the team, but obviously fairly close to the situation, people are delusional, so they're obviously denying it. Doc Rivers has denied it, which probably means there's some truth to it, I guess. this isn't the first time. I think Glenn Davis has said something about that as well with Doc Rivers. And Austin Rivers, he played the year or so for the Clippers as well after playing for him in Boston. And I have this stint with the Magic as well. Now, there's a player who didn't stick around very long, Glenn Davis.
Yeah, he's pretty much, was it probably about one or two seasons, it felt like, after...
After they got traded from the Celtics.
Yeah.
But so that's Michael Eaves from SportsCenter with the report on that, that... Paul had begun to resent Rivers, despise him even, and felt that he treated his son more favorably than other players, yelled guys for certain things during games and practice, but not getting an Austin in the same manner. So the other thing is, of course, Blake Griffin is a free agent, and he's looking to meet with the Suns on his first day of free agency, so Clippers could be headed back to the basement, and it could be Rivers' fault to some extent.
Yeah. And, you know, then it would bring up the question, which LA team would be better, Lakers or Clippers? So,
well, I mean, the Lakers are going 82-0 and winning the championship. You know that. It's
Of course. How could I be so silly to forget that?
How could you be such a hater, Ben? How could you despise Lonzo Ball and LaVar Ball so much to be such haters? Lakers could be better depending on who the Clippers can get. I don't think either of them are going to be pretty good. Both of them could be pretty lousy.
Actually, I had an interesting dream about LaVar Ball the other night, and I was like, yeah, I dreamt that I dunked on him a few times, and that. So
he's not in his prime, so.
Still, but the weird part of this dream was my cat was driving a little mini car, like sort of you know, those kids' 12-volt battery cars and stuff.
Your cat.
Yeah, my cat.
Yeah,
just driving one of those.
This is heading for some psychosis, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So may not be on the podcast next week. Maybe one of those little comfortable rooms, Ben.
Yeah. We had to commit him.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was a weird dream, but it was kind of funny and stuff. But yeah, it was...
It may be as likely as the Lakers going 82-0 and winning the championship, so... Which I know he didn't say. He said playoffs, but, you know, come on.
And he was going to be an all-star his first year.
Yeah, and the 495 Zo2s are going to outsell all of the Jordan Brand by themselves. Yeah, sure. So we'll see. We'll see, shall we say. Yeah, so it's... interesting to see what's going to happen with the Clippers from here on out. It depends, I guess, what moves they can make. Chris Paul, if he's healthy, he and Harden could be one hell of a backcourt. Meanwhile, in Houston.
Yeah, that's still... I don't know. That deal doesn't make too much sense for me in terms of things.
Well, Paul does play defense.
Yeah.
And so he's got that going for him as far as...
But Paul also only plays about 60 games. So.
Health is definitely going to be an issue with that. You know, it was mentioned in the forum that D'Antoni got a pretty good production out of 30-plus-year-old Steve Nash back in the day. So, how old's Chris Paul? I think he's around my age. So, that's terrible. 31, 32. terrible. What a beat-up old man. So, he should still have some years left. He's obviously got the skill there. So, if he can stay healthy and work in that system. You know, we saw what D'Antoni did with a great point guard in Steve Nash in Phoenix. So it's definitely possible that the Rockets, they're obvious. Everyone's obviously trying to build up and get the get a super team together to contend with the Warriors and the Cavs. And you know, if that, as much as I don't like the super teams, if that's what it's going to take to have some more competition in the league and like a couple of more elite teams who might actually make the finals instead, fine. You know, did you hear the Celtics are looking to get Paul George on a rental for a year, believing they can re-sign him, obviously, and Hayward as well, Gordon Hayward?
Yeah, well, Hayward's also, well, his first team that he's seeing is Miami.
Yes, yes.
So, yeah.
So the Jazz could lose out big time on that. Yeah. Which is unfortunate for them because Hayward's becoming quite a fine player.
You know, and would Kenny feel conflicted going for Miami?
We'll have to see. I mean, he's ultimately got Denver as his team. So
yeah, that's true. But, you know, Gordon Hayward's one of his favorite players, so...
No, well, it just means that his player's going to have to wear the Heat jersey then.
Yeah.
In my park.
Yeah.
The Hayward jersey, yeah. Yeah, so we could see some really big moves this offseason. We've obviously seen a couple already with Dwight Howard going to Charlotte and now Chris Paul going to the Rockets. So already the offseason is shaping up to be more exciting than the playoffs and the regular season were, I guess, or certainly the playoffs.
For sure.
Which is kind of sad, but at the same time, if it means more competition, more parity moving forward and some interesting plots for next season, interesting... storylines with all the movement and teams that could possibly compete and challenge the might of the Warriors and the Cavs in the East and West, or the West and East respectively, I should say. Fine, you know, I just know it's not going to be the Bulls the way they're going. Timberwolves might be interesting to watch this year. They might be fun.
But the team they've built, they've got a good young team in the core. Philly will be fun to watch as long as they're healthy.
Oh yes, yes.
Who else is? I don't know. I think we'll know more obviously who signs with who and all that stuff. So yeah,
if you got Blake Griffin to Phoenix or something like that, we could see some really big shakeups like we did last offseason. Was pretty big. There was a lot of movement that first month or so, at least the first 2 weeks. So it was a pretty big offseason. So this offseason might be pretty big as well, especially you know, with players like Paul George, not a free agent, but certainly saying that he wants out of Indiana so it could force a trade. So we could still see some big moves, at least for the first couple of weeks, and then we just hope for more video game news because then we've certainly got nothing to talk about on the podcast then for
that's for sure
weeks. So what have we been doing in 2K17 and NBA Playgrounds? Anything else going on? Not really. Okay, let's check in on the mods. Okay, we've done that. So yeah.
It's 20-minute shows.
Do we come up with some fake news or, you know? Yeah. And that is going to be the other thing this offseason, of course. You know, getting back to the video games for a moment. People are already making clickbait videos claiming to have leaked 2K18 footage. And it's modded 2K17 footage. Yeah. And they get the clicks. They get the views. And they even get the likes on the video. People are being taken in by it. It's just not good for the community.
No. Actually, what made me think of just before, you know, when sort of talking about like the fake news stuff, I was thinking our podcast become like when Hans Molman's doing the radio report.
Oh, Molman in the morning. Good Molman.
Yeah.
To you.
Yeah. That's kind of like what our shows would become during
the agonizing, agonizing wait for previews every week. Just. Yeah, hopefully it doesn't get to that point. Hopefully we can at least come up with something entertaining, even if we do a shorter show every now and again, which I guess was kind of what we've done this week as well, because that's pretty much all that's happened.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been definitely a quiet one in terms of things, so hopefully next week picks up, fingers crossed.
And there's kind of a weird dead spot in between the draft and free agency starting, and both companies, both 2K and EA, not really releasing information at the moment, but hey, should be picking up soon, and as I said, we will be trying to get our exclusives, our interviews lined up and everything as soon as we can. But I guess, yeah, we've kind of covered it all this week.
Yeah, and wrapped it up in a nice little bundle.
Well, we shall wrap it up in a neat little package, as Homer Simpson would say. by reminding everyone that you can subscribe to the show on iTunes. We certainly hope that you will consider that if you enjoy the show, or at least keep streaming it on the NLSC. Also available on the Stitcher app for Android and iOS devices. Search NLSC Podcast. There we are. Connect with us on social media. We're on Twitter at the NLSC, Facebook, facebook.com/the NLSC. Follow us and like us there, respectively. And we're trying to, you know, that's where you can interact with us as well. Trying to do some more stuff with our social media, apart from just posting our bulletins there, which we will continue to do, of course, but also hopefully do some other fun stuff as well. But connect with us there, and of course, keep it locked to the NLSC itself, nba-live.com, for our forums, for our modern community, our podcasts, our weekly features, everything we do for basketball and basketball video games. I guess mostly basketball video games. But until next time, that is it for episode number 211 of the NLSC Podcast. So, until next week, I'm Andrew.
I'm Arcane.
And we're off like LeVar Ball's shirt on WWE Raw.